Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
And he said to David, "You're a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil." Amen. I say amen to the reading of God's word. Today we're in part 7 of our After God's Own Heart series. Today from the topic, The Last Dance. The Last Dance. I pray that this series, After God's Heart, has been helpful to you as we've been walking through the life of David. And as I told you from the very beginning, that we can easily spend a lot of time talking about the life of David, because there are so many different things, so many hills, so many valleys, so many mountains, so many things that we can look at from the life of David, and we can be able to glean, we can be able to learn, we can be able to put in our spiritual doggy bag. We began this journey talking about even before the oil was poured on David, before he was ever anointed to be the king in waiting, that David was there working, David was there serving and doing what he needed to do. And then we talked about the fact that God had him training. God had him training for where it was that he was going, for what it was that God had prepared for him. There was some training ground. There was something that David needed to do. And this is the mindset. This is the heart of the person that has a heart after God's own heart, is that we don't wait for opportunities to present themselves. We're already being faithful. We're already being diligent. We're already doing what we need to do before the door ever opens. And David embodied that. David showed us this. Then when David went and fought Goliath, it was no longer training. This was no longer drill. But we saw David fighting this 9'9" giant, and was doing what he needed to do to be able to bring victory and bring glory and bring honor to God and to the nation of Israel. And then we started seeing how David went from obscurity all the way to notoriety. And now we begin seeing how God began to work through David's relationships for David to ultimately begin to start going through the process that God wanted him to go through. And because of David's fame, because of David's notoriety, we start seeing that King Saul had a ton of insecurities, and there were some things that he needed to work through. And if because he did not work through it, David said that I'm only a step away from death. That's what he told Saul's son Jonathan. He said, there's only a step between me and death. And we said we got to learn how to watch our step, because there are so many people that don't know how to disarm their own insecurities, and because of their hatred and because of their jealousy, because of all of this, it will be our demise if we do not handle our relationships properly. If you have not done the due diligence to do what you need to do to make sure that you're right with God, to make sure that God is your source and your strength, and you're not intimidated by anyone and anything, then I need to do my due diligence to make sure that I'm sober and I'm vigilant. I think a lot of times we miss this as the people of God, that maybe everybody didn't wake up speaking in tongues this morning. Maybe everybody didn't wake up feeling the power this morning. Maybe everybody didn't wake up reading 9 chapters of the Bible. Maybe they got mad at their wife because their wife burnt their toast. Maybe they got mad at somebody in traffic. Maybe they got mad at their husband for not taking out the trash for the 9th day in a row. You don't know what's going on. Maybe because an individual didn't do their due diligence and make sure their spirituality was on point. I need to make sure that my spirituality is on point, lest it be be to my demise. So here, because David was a hated man, because David was dealing with all of these relationships, we unpacked last week that David, I believe David said to himself while he was in that cave of Adullam, I got to get myself together. I got to get myself together because there are persons that God is sending to me. The Bible says everyone that was distressed, everyone that was in debt, everyone that had a bitter spirit, God sent them to David. David was in the cave running for his own life. He was trying to get himself together, but yet and still he didn't have time to be on the dock of the bay crying about all the things that was going wrong. David had to get himself together. And so I've been telling you that this entire series is about relationships. And let me remind you one more time that if I'm not careful on how I deal with my relationships, if I mismanage and mishandle my relationships, I run danger from missing my destiny. I'm going to say that again. If I mishandle and misappropriate my relationships, I run danger for missing what God has for me. And I don't know about you, man. I've been through too much for me to miss anything that God has for me. I want everything that God has for me. I've turned down too much stuff for me to miss anything that God. I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to be available. I've tried to be teachable. And I've done all of that here, not by my own strength, not by all my might, but by the grace of God. And I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. So I got to learn how to deal with relationships. Such is the case, as I've borrowed the title from this 10-part documentary that aired earlier this year that ultimately talked about the greatest team in NBA history, the said Chicago Bulls. And there's no question about that. There's no debate about that. There's nothing to talk about. I'm just telling you what it T.I. is. Come on here. If I tell you the truth for an hour every week, I'm not going to start lying to you right now. But I'm telling you that the greatest team in NBA history, the Chicago Bulls, the greatest dynasty led by the greatest basketball player that ever lived. I understand namesake Kobe with a K. He did his thing. I understand King James. I understand all these other individuals. But can I tell you that Jordan did what he needed to do? So in this particular documentary that I just happened to glance at. You know, I just happened to be glued to the television and watched every single last one of them, and then recorded it, then watched them again, you know. But don't look at me like that, because that's how y'all do Power. That's how y'all do y'all little shows, and don't do me like that. But I love this particular series, this documentary, because Phil Jackson, who arguably the greatest coach of NBA history, walked into the owner's office in that particular year, and the owner told him that in the regular season of basketball, to all of my non-sports fans, they play 82 games in the season. And then he told Phil Jackson, if you go 82-0, this is still going to be your last season here in Chicago. The relationship had become so distant from Phil in the front office. And he said, I don't care what goes on within this year, this is going to be your last year. So Phil Jackson, he took that and he called this team together and said, we're calling this season the last dance. This is the last dance. And so what was this season all about? It was about about managing relationships and personalities. As I've said, you had Michael Jordan on this team, Scottie Pippen, who wanted to get paid, Dennis Rodman, who didn't know what he wanted to do. He wanted to wrestle. He wanted to do this and do all that. It was all about managing personalities. And you know the end of the story. They ultimately did what they needed to do. They ultimately, watch me closer, they ultimately got the victory. They ultimately won the championship, because here someone knew how to manage relationships. And can I tell you, such is the case when we look at the life of David in these three chapters, and I'm going to try to squeeze together today. This is literally David's last dance with Saul. Yes, it is. This is his last dance. This is the last song I did right there. Can I tell you that this is literally his last dance with Saul? This is literally the point to where David, because he handles this moment right, because because he handles this relationship right. David didn't have to bother with Saul anymore. And can I tell you that God bring all of us to a point that where we can finally get over the hump. We can finally get over to the point where we experience deliverance, where we experience a breakthrough, that where we experience something that where Moses told the people of God, when you come across this Red Sea, so you can turn around and this enemy you won't see anymore. I don't know about you. I want to live in such a way that there's some things I don't have to worry about anymore. There's some things that I got the victory over. Sure, we live in a battle. Sure, we live in a space to where we know there's always going to be something. We're going to talk about that. But at the same time, there are certain subject matters. There are certain areas in my life that I need to get a handle on, that I'm not perpetually plagued by disobedience or perpetually plagued by something in my heart or in my mind. But I can know that this thing right here is going to be the last dance. I don't know if this is the right word for everybody. I don't know. Maybe I should have tried this on another day. But I'm trying to tell you, is there anybody that have anything in their life that you're dealing with? And God, if God told you, if you get this right, if you pass this test, if you handle this person right, if you handle this relationship right, you don't have to worry about this anymore. I don't know about you. If that was me, I try to sit up on the edge of my heart and say, Lord, speak to me, because I want this to be my last dance. And here David got to the point to where we start seeing him maturing, we start seeing him developing through his life, and we see all of the keys that give us all the keys, all the components through this narrative, through this story, that really show us why this was David's last encounter to Saul. In my estimation, the first thing I see when it comes to the life of David, I see a remarkable difference. We've been navigating through this dude David's life from a time before we didn't even know who he was. In fact, before we ever knew his name, we saw the oil. The text always just talks about a boy, always talks about a son, but then we saw the oil, then we knew his name. But here we see a remarkable difference in the life of David. David is running for his life. Last week we talked about the fact that how he went to this particular city. He lied to the priest and said he was on a mission from the king, and because of his lies, because of him just acting out, because of the fact that he didn't stop and slow down and see what he needed to do or what God wanted him to do, the Bible says he got the priest and all of the other priests and all the people of that town got them killed. Then David went to the camp of the Philistines, and because he didn't ask God before he went, the Bible says he had to start acting crazy in order to get out of this. But when I'm looking at the life of David now, I see a remarkable difference. What do you mean, bro, pastor? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 2 says, therefore, David inquired of the Lord. That's a noticeable difference there, because here David is contemplating going into battle. He's contemplating going into war. But before David goes into battle, we see a noticeable difference from a chapter ago that now David is asking God. David, before he just launches out there, he's slowing down and he's talking to God. David is maturing. David is developing as a man of God, and now he's learned that here, when I make decisions on my own, I get myself into things that I had no business being in. If I would just slow down and stop being so hasty and begin to talk to God, begin to pray, begin to ask God, is this what you want me to do? Is this the relationship you want me to be in? Is this what you want me to advance? If I would slow down and not be so hasty and talk to God and pray, then I will not find myself in situations. This is what we learned from David. We see a noticeable difference. Is there anybody other than me that where you jumped out and did some things? God knows I have, because I'm a go-getter, and come on, that's probably one of my greatest strengths, but it's also one of my greatest things that hold me down as well. And I just go and I just go and I go, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit called Camilla Nesbitt, that where she'll lead me and guide me, bring all things to my remembrance, reprove me, and come on, so she's the Holy Spirit. Come on, here she battles and senses me out, and she said, I don't know about that now. I don't know about that. Come on, every now and then you need somebody in your life saying, I don't know about that now, but can I tell you, other than that, I'm grateful for the Spirit of God on the inside of me that say, you need to slow down. Remember what happened last time. Remember you put your mouth on that. Remember what you said you was going to do. Remember what you said, what you was, where you was going. Oh, anybody just other than me put your foot in your mouth? Anybody other than me had to eat your word because you were hasty? But I learned through the process of time, and David is learning as well, that David is saying, God, I got to talk to you before I go. And here, can I tell you, let me drop this on you quick. I know it's early in the message, but here, let me give you a quote. Here, I want you to put this in your spirit. Put this in your doggy bag. Carry it all the week. I want you to remember, there's no prayer, no progress. Just that simple. No prayer. When I don't pray, when I don't consult God, I know that's a, all right, Pastor, we know that. All right, I know, I understand. But can I tell you, just like David understood that as well. David knew that as well. But David got hasty and got out of the plan of God and out of the will of God. And before he began to make any more moves, and I'm telling you, this is why I believe this is David's last dance with Saul that is recorded, because David learned how to pray. We'll see it throughout. We'll see it throughout his life. Look at 1 Samuel 23:5. The Bible says, and David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock. And look, because David prayed, look at the progress. Look, and struck them with the great blow. Good God. Because David inquired of the Lord. David said, God, do you want me to go? God said, go. David said, God, are you sure you want me to go? God said, go ahead. David, later on in this chapter, he prayed 2 more times. He said, God, because he heard that Saul was coming for him. Same people that he helped, he heard Saul was coming, said, God, when Saul come for me, will they give me over to Saul? God said, yes, they will. First he asked him, he said, God, is Saul coming? He said, yes, he's coming. I don't know about you, but when you take the time to inquire God, I don't know about you, when you take the time to talk to God, God will order your steps. That's not just a pretty song, order your steps, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. No, that's the word of God. Psalm 119:133 says, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. And I don't know about you, Proverbs 3:5, we've forgotten about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. David prayed and David said, God, I need to know what it is that you want me to do. Let me hurry lest I run out of time here. So we see a remarkable difference. I want to ask anybody, come on here, what can I tell you, maybe what's stopping you from your next place that God has for you? Maybe just a quick prayer, maybe just a quick acknowledgement of the Lord. And David has learned this brutal lesson here. Let me tell you the next thing that I see in the life of David. Well, I believe that this is his last dance with Saul. And what we need to do, there's some things we're trying to excommunicate out of our life and be done with. We have to learn to resist the temptation of self-isolation. Here, I see it in the life of David. I'm trying to squeeze 3 chapters of narrative text into 1 message. Y'all pray for me. Can I tell you, David, this is probably going to be a part 2. I'm just going to preach until my time is up, then I'm going to be up out of here, Lord's willing. Can I tell you that David said, we have to learn to resist the temptation of self-isolation. David is running for his life. And look at what happens. David is literally a fugitive. And David is a fugitive for double-digit years. I know we turn the page real easy. Look at the flick of the wrist. I know we just flick and turn the page. But no, my friend, this is some years that took place. David is a fugitive for double-digit years. So when you're running, and whenever it is that persons have wronged you, whenever persons have hurt you, whenever it is that person is jealous of you and you haven't done anything to them, whenever people talk about you and backstab you and betray you, just like David has, we have to all resist the temptation of self-isolation. Come on. I know one person said, I can do bad all by myself. I don't need nobody around me. And some of us, because of the pain of people and because our people have mishandled us and mismanaged us, now we push ourselves on an island and we don't do people. And come on, I told you a few weeks ago, some of y'all have been cool with this 25 weeks of not coming to the house of the Lord. Because you saying to yourself on your couch, I ain't like none of y'all anyway. Come on here. There's somebody right now watching me on YouTube. I ain't like none of y'all no way. Talking about, welcome to the truth and love. Anything is out. And all the people out. Welcome to truth. You got one person. Hey, welcome to truth and love. They all excited. Somebody else on the other side like, I ain't even gonna say nothing to nobody. Don't touch me. Don't look at me. Don't high-five me. Low-five me. Don't do nothing. Come on. Can I tell you? I come late and I leave early. And I do it on purpose. Can I tell you that there are some folk, but here, can I tell you, I understand we have church hurt. I understand that people offended us. I understand that we that our last place. We open up our heart. I know last Christmas you open your heart and the very next day. They gave it away. I understand all of that. I know you open your heart, perfect giveaway. But can I tell you that that's not God's perfect design? God has designed us to be in relationship. That's the only way the kingdom can progress. That's the only way the kingdom can work. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Not cousin it, Christ. Come on, not just a hand by the Adams family. No, you need the hand. The hand needs the wrist. The wrist needs the arm. The arm needs the chest. Come on here, the neck bone. Got to connect to the ankle bone. Have it go. You know what I'm trying to say? We need the body. Or I'm telling you, we need the body. You can't do this by yourself. Look at the text here, because David had to resist the temptation of being in isolation. Look at 1 Samuel 23:16. This is going to bless one person. This is your word right here. I promise you this. Look, and Jonathan, Saul's son. Now, who is Saul? Saul is David's enemy. Saul is a person that's hunting David. And the Bible says, Saul's son Jonathan rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. Look at Jonathan. Jonathan went to David. Jonathan went to David. Here, the last time we saw David and Jonathan, they were in the field. And David and Jonathan came to the grips that Saul is not going to stop until he kills David. They made a covenant with one another. And David had to go, and he began his journey as a fugitive. But the Bible says that Saul sought David out, and he went and strengthened David's hand. Let me explain to you what that means. Look at the same verse of scripture in New Living. It said, Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. Good God Almighty, I'm trying to tell you that every now and then, God will assign somebody. I told y'all way back then that this is all about relationship. And the thing that helped David along the way was the person's son that was after him. He went after David to encourage him and to tell him to stay strong in the faith. Stay strong in what it is that you're doing. But you can't get this encouragement when you're in isolation. You can't get this encouragement whenever it is that you just retract yourself from everybody and detach yourself from everybody, saying, well, I just don't want to open up my heart and I don't want to get hurt no more. No, my friend, can I tell you that God has some encouragement that can only come through people, and you won't get the encouragement that you need. You won't get the energy that you need. You won't get the push that you need. You won't get the nudge that you need whenever it is that you need it, because you put yourself on an island. But no, I'm so glad that God will put people in my life that will help me. Oh, I know. I told y'all the story about the young boy who was scared. He wanted to go to the kitchen and get some milk late at night. And his parents say, go on in there, little Johnny Jr. There's that. No, we ain't going to let nobody get you. Go on in there. God going to be with you. And Johnny Jr. got up. He started walking to the door. And he said, you know what? I know God with me, but I need somebody with some skin on him. Come on here. And then, come on, can I tell you, I know that God is with me. I know he's Emmanuel. I know he's Emmanuel, but every now and then you need somebody with some skin on. Every now and then you need somebody to pick up the phone and to call you, to encourage you, to give you a word, somebody to pray with you, somebody to check on you and say, hey, girl, what's going on? Every now and then you need somebody to say, come on, boy, get yourself together. Do what it is that God has called you to do. And you don't get that when you put yourself in self-isolation. You can't have it both ways, my friend. You can't go in isolation because you don't want your feelings hurt. But then when you need to be encouraged, you say, nobody love me. Nobody care about me. Nobody call me. Nobody shut up. But no, you put yourself in isolation. I'm preaching already. I'm trying to tell you that we got to learn how to put that out. We got to resist the temptation. All of us want to sequester. All of us want to get to a point where we say, I ain't dealing with nobody. All of us want to go in a hole. All of us want to go and say, I don't want to deal with you. Okay, come tell you what the old folk told me. They say, keep on living. Come on, you ain't got your little feelings hurt yet. Keep on living. Nobody talked about you yet. Keep on living. You ain't walked in the room and the tension was so hot and the tension was so thick you can cut it with a knife. Keep on living. All of us get to a point where we say, I ain't loving on nobody no more. I ain't telling nobody my business no more. I ain't giving nobody else my phone number no more. I ain't talking to nobody. All of us want to push ourselves into isolation, but that's not how the kingdom works. We got to keep on pushing. We got to keep on advancing. That's what God has called us to do. Preach, Pastor Kobe. I got to hurry. I'm trying my best here. Look what happened. Look what had happened was. Look what Jonathan did when he came and saw David. Look at verse 7, 20 through 17. It's going to bless somebody. Look. And he said to him, Jonathan rather, he says to David, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you." Look at Jonathan and David. Look what he says. "You shall be king over Israel." This is the kind of friend I need. This is the kind of friend I need. The way he's telling me that I'm going to take his spot. Good God. This is the kind of people I need in my corner. The way they're not jealous and intimidated, but no, they're pushing me into my purpose and my destiny. Say, "You're going to be king over Israel." And look what he says. "I'm not going to be hating." I'm not going to go into isolation. He says, "And I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." Look at Jonathan. Jonathan came to motivate his friend. Jonathan came to encourage his friend, came to give energy to his friend. And all of us have to resist that temptation to go into self-isolation. There's a lot of things that push us there. We begin to develop, because we've been hurt, we begin to develop an I don't care attitude. We begin to be angry at everybody. We kind of slip into apathy. We kind of get, we get real busy. We get real busy. People get real busy. That means they don't like slowing down and dealing with things. So you can get real, real busy and just be, they just be working. They just be going and just going to go. No, they don't want to slow down and deal with what needs to be dealt with. People do this all the time in their marriages. They just stay gone all day till they come home, the spouse asleep. Come on here. They ain't got to talk to nobody. They ain't got to deal with nothing. And no, you cannot do that whenever it is you're trying to have a healthy relationship. We have to learn how to put those things off, because all of us desire love. God wired us this way. We need love. We need significance. All of us need security. All of us need persons in our life that help us and build us up, that show us that love, that show us that, give us that affirmation, that give us that significance, to show that loyalty to us. And look at how the devil deals with us. We'll never be at the point to where we're at our last dance because we don't like dancing. We don't even want to get in. We don't even want to do. Talk about what it is, a two-step. That's a waltz. I mean, we don't even want to do it. I'm good. I just stand right here. I'm good. No, you got to know, my friend. You got to get in there and dance. Yeah, getting that dance on. I know y'all ain't seen that in a minute, but it's still there. I was trying to teach my daughters that. I'm like, "What is this y'all be doing? That's too many moves. My God, what is all that? Y'all doing all this stuff and do? I'm like, who choreographed all them? All this stuff y'all doing is that, and all they know all of it. They do, dum, 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 dum. They trying to show me, and I'm like, my God. I said, "What happened to just this right here? Come on, look at how much thinking I got to do this." I said, "Come on, babe." I said, "Take your leg, sweetheart. Take your leg." And I said, "Twist your leg right here. Do it." She's like, "Okay." And I said, "Okay, take the other leg and twist it like that." And she said, "Okay." I said, "Now put them together. Come on. That's called the butterfly. Come on. What's so hard about that? Come on here. Y'all doing all this stuff and doing all this. My God. What is that? That's dancing? I'm good, y'all. I'm sorry. I just helped three parents just now. Helped three parents. Feel that right over in Jesus Christ. So I got to resist the temptation of trying to learn them dances. So look, David, what pushes us? And I'm going to slow down here, minister here, and then I'm going to speed back up. Because there are so many things that stop us in our relationships. The first thing is fearing vulnerability. That's why we don't get close to people. We don't like being vulnerable. We don't like being vulnerable. We don't like exposing ourselves, because we've been taught you always put your best foot forward. We've always been taught you never let them see you sweat. But here, God put somebody in your life that where they see your sweat. Even when you don't sweat, when you're not physically sweating, they still can pick up your perspiring. Yes, sir. That's God to put people in your life that where we don't want that. We don't want people. We're gonna feel like we're gonna lose control. We're gonna feel like we're gonna lose our dependence on somebody. I don't like being vulnerable, so the enemy keeps us away from each other. Number two, look what else happens. We evade personal disclosure. "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm good. I'm blessed and highly favored." "How you doing?" "Oh, too blessed to be stressed." "Oh, how you doing?" "All things are working together for my good." And we don't never, and I'm not telling you just to be barfing on everybody all your trouble and all your problems. Somebody just literally.
Thank you for listening to Truth and Love Ministries, located at 1989 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. under the loving leadership of Pastors Colby and Camilla Nesbitt. Join us for our Sunday morning worship experience at 9 and 11:15 a.m. We would also love to see you at our Triple Play Thursday, which is our midweek worship experience kicking off at 12 noon, corporate prayer at 6 p.m., and concluding with a powerful teaching and walk through the Word at 7 p.m. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Truth and Love Jax. For more information, call us at 904-683-9843. Again, 904-683-9843.